So today, the topic that I want to speak on is coming back to the series on being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that comes from Romans 8:29. It says we are all predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And particularly today, Christ's perseverance. And so there is other words like long-suffering, Christ's long-suffering. It refers to patience and it's used in different contexts. So there's a slight difference, but I wanted to talk more about the perseverance of Christ through hardship as he is obeying the Father. So another word similar to that is endurance. So Christ's endurance or Christ's perseverance. And so can you make that a bigger screen so I could see it? Yeah. Right, these are my notes, right? So I could see it a little bigger, yeah. So where it comes from, first, I mean, there's many places where the word perseverance or Christ's endurance is used. But here in 2 Thessalonians 3:3-5. Let's all read that together. Ready? Yes, I go. So it says here very clearly, may the Lord direct your heart into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And this is NIV. NASB says, the steadfastness of Christ. So it's something to do with not quitting. You know, it's like something to do with just like continually persevering in spite of the hardship. And it's coupled with God's love. So Christ's perseverance is not just biting your teeth and, you know, continually plugging away. But as Apostle Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. Why did Paul persevere in serving the Lord? Because the love of Christ dwells in him, and that compelled him. So Paul encourages the Thessalonians here in this passage, as they are hoping to be used for the gospel, it says in verse 1 and 2. And he says, but when you're preaching the gospel, there's going to be oppositions. There's going to be hardships. And in this case, it says, we're confident in the Lord that you are doing all that continue to do the things we command. Okay, where's that part? Oh, no, first part. Yeah, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one and evil people. And so something that is a reality is when we're obeying God, when we're, you know, living life for Jesus and standing for Jesus and for the gospel, oppositions will come. There will be hardship. There will be difficulties. And even whether it's from without in the unbelieving community, but also even from within the church, because Corinthians had a lot of problem in the church. But Paul was reminding the Thessalonians, who were actually very, you know, he spent only 3 Sabbaths, and then their life and faith was amazing. They were living for the gospel. They're being opposed by their own people, and they imitated Paul to persevere. And so he's encouraging the Thessalonians here to say, you're obeying all that we commanded you. May the Lord direct you or your heart to God's love and Christ's perseverance. And so here's where perseverance comes out, but another place is Hebrews 12:1-3. And in this passage, I'm sure for many of you has been a favorite or pretty deep. It's a deep calling here. And in the Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sins that easily entangles. And let us run the run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right end of the throne of God. And then our famous verse that we memorize, consider him who endures such opposition from sinful men, sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And it continues on, but this whole passage of chapter 12 is actually starting out with therefore. And so it's in connection with the previous chapter. What is before chapter 12? Hebrews 11. And what is Hebrews 11? It's the hall of fame of God's men and women of faith. So there's like countless description of who were men and women of faith and how they lived out obedience and by faith and experienced, you know, amazing work of God. So it's in connection because we have all these people here. This is the calling. So in this passage, the word perseverance or endurance is mentioned three times. Let's run with perseverance the race. And then it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Actually, in NASB, all three of them are endure. Endurance, endure, endure. So Christ's endurance or Christ's perseverance. So this calling is in the light of chapter 11. So we will reflect on that. So without further ado, so what are we to do? Therefore, first part is, therefore we call to run with perseverance. Because Christ ran with perseverance, we are called to run with perseverance. How, in the light of the chapter 11 witnesses, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses. So this is less about somebody spectating us. It's not like the Old Testament people are kind of like watching us. It's referring to more about, since we have all these witnesses of people in the Old Testament who live by faith and obedience, and they tasted the faithfulness of God. Since we have all these people who have witnessed and tasted living by faith and living in obedience, in spite of the hardships and difficulty they came, you know, some of them, you know, they were beheaded, they were sawn in two. There's just like, you know, unmentionable suffering that went through, but they kept the faith. And because of that, they became a testimony. So chapter 11 is referring to all the people who live by faith and obedience, and they left a testimony. They are witnesses of what it means to run with perseverance. So because we have so much examples, not only in chapter 11, but we have in contemporary time, you know, if you sit and kind of ponder, what are some people who live by faith, live in obedience, in spite of the difficulty, they kept on persevering for the Lord? There's many to mention. And there's probably many we do not even know. So because people of the Old Testament, people of the New Testament, people in our time, they also ran with perseverance in spite of the oppositions. We are called to run with perseverance. Run with perseverance. It says, the race marked out for us. If the Old Testament people had their own appointment, right? We talked about Jeremiah last week, or a couple of weeks ago. It says, God knew us, he consecrated us, and he appointed us for a very unique mission for each of us. Jeremiah had his mission, you know, he used to be a prophet to the nations. We each have an appointment from God, even before the foundation of the earth, or even before we were born, God had an appointment for us. So each of us do have an appointment from God, a race marked out for us, that we are to run with perseverance. Run with perseverance. So it's not, you know, about living my life the way I feel that pleases me, or the way that I could, you know, just have the most in this life. The greatest way to create security for myself. But our calling is to run the race God has marked out for us. That's why I think in Acts, what is that passage where it says 20? Wait, my life, I don't consider anything 2024. Somebody read that for us. Somebody 2024. I mean, I refer to this many times because I like it. Okay. 2024.
However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace.
So you consider his life nothing of his own, but to run the race that the Lord has given him. And we too, each of us, have that race marked out for our lives. And you are probably living it, and he has further race he has marked out for you ahead. But in running the race, there'll be oppositions. There'll be opposition from sinful man and just opposition from all over. But we are to persevere, because Christ persevered. You know, in order for Christ to, you know, persevere, he had to face much opposition. But also in running this race, the thing that is mentioned, it says, throwing off every encumbrance. So therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sins which so easily entangle us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So in order to, remembering all these cloud of witnesses who's went before us, set the pace, set the witness, and so we should be excited, like them having run their race with perseverance. We are called to run the race that is laid out for us with perseverance. But in order to do that, we need to remove some entanglement. Because when you run, you want to remove the thing that will hinder you from running hard. So the Jewish people, you know, people in those days, their clothing was a long robe. You know, what they do when they are about to run, what they do is they grab the long clothes and they bring it up to the middle, and they tie it around their waist. Because if you don't do that, you got this long cloak as you're running, it's just kind of entangling you. So there's an image of like, remove the entanglement. If you're going to run the race, remove the entanglement that will hinder you from running hard for God. And the entanglement definitely is, many things, but especially sin that could hinder us. Every encumbrance. So sin is one, there's other stuff, but I guess sin covers a lot. Laying aside, remove that. We're called to run the race and persevere, but let's remove the things that would hinder us from running hard. And the sin which entangles us so easily from running the race God has set out for us. And in verse 4, we may have done it. We may have, removed some sins in our lives. But in order to run hard for Jesus and persevere, in verse 4, I believe, says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. There's an additional mentioning of the sin, and he says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, so that it will not entangle us running the race that God has for us. So actually, there's if you thought that you got rid of the major big ones in your lives, and I've experienced this myself, and I repent, different time I would repent, and I renounce it, I get over a big one, and then more little ones come out. So there's actually a lot more that we don't see. Because of the big one, we think, I just need to get rid of this one. But after you get rid of that one, there's other stuff that's tucked around the corner, and being sanctified, cleansing, just different sin in our lives is, I guess, in a way, a lifetime pursuit. David said, my sin is like my hair. The number of hairs in my head is like the number of sin I have. And so sometimes I say that, God, my sin is like the number of my hairs, So I start confessing, more sins come out, and but any one of these little bit of sin, sometimes we think this is no big deal, but it could hinder us from running the race. And it can distract us. Any amount of sin can distract us from the focus on what we're called to do. Sin has a tendency of, I told you that, it hardens heart and blinds the mind. And at different degrees, it does that in our view of, what is my life? What is my calling? What am I to do? So we need to resist sin to the point of shedding blood. And so I'm sure that we all have room to grow. Throwing off every encumbrance and sin so that we could run with perseverance the race marked out for us, because many have already set the pace. Many have already set the pace. So, for me, how I got here is, not by myself. I was blessed with discipleship with David Shin, and he's continually serving the Lord. Went to Korea and met a lot of Korean navs, and when I visited they did a 60th birthday for me. They knew that I was not married, and I don't have a son. In Korea, when you hit 60, your son is supposed to host a huge party. So just Pastor John Ha, just out of the goodness of his heart, say, Mingun, can you come at this time? I was overseas at mission. Oh, I think I could spare my time. And they just swung by Korea. And they said, well, we want to celebrate your 60th birthday with two other guys who are my age. But you know, those guys were just a sidekick. He didn't want me to think that they were doing this just for me. It's like two other old 60-year-old guys who I was there when I was being trained. So, oh, we're celebrating the 60-year-olds. So, but they both have sons. They already had their own celebration, but he just wanted to bring these two guys in to make me feel better that they're not just, you know, singling me out. So, but anyway, all these guys, when I visit there with our missionaries before, I always see these old guys at my age. We trained together back in after college when I was there as an IT. And they served the Lord then, and they're still serving the Lord now. You think Pastor Min is like kind of rare, but it's not. There's tons of those guys my age still chugging away, running the race. And so along the way, all these years, I was always reminded of my friends in Korea. They're just being faithful. They're being faithful. You know, I can't give up. And this is some lonely times along the way. You know, there's nobody evangelizing. Many times I was alone in campus evangelizing at USC, and, you know, you wonder if there are going to be people who has the same vision and heart for soul saving and making disciples. And, you know, for many years, there were not many. And but because I know that other people did not give up on the vision and their passion, running the race with perseverance, it helped me to continue on. So it's not always us alone, but God gives like witnesses, people who are living the life. So let's go back to just as a review. So therefore, first part was, where is it? Therefore, we are called to run this race with perseverance because we have these clouds of witnesses, and we have a race marked off for us individually. And to this end, to run with perseverance, we need to throw off every entanglement. But the other thing we are called to do is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. So how do we persevere to the end? Not only when we're young, but our calling is for a lifetime. We want to make disciples and disciple makers or laborers, but we don't want to make people who are doing that when they're young. But then when they're 40s, oh, I did that when I was in college. No, it's somebody who is called, clearly convicted in the call, how God calls us. And they're planning to run the race, persevering until Jesus comes or we go to be with the Father. So how do you do that? We are to do it by fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know, looking, basically, intently gazing at Jesus, focusing on Jesus, and looking at what Jesus have done. Why? Because he is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. If we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and that means everything that goes along with that, not only remembering who Jesus is, not only remembering what he has done, but being in relationship with Jesus, involving Jesus in our lives. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Well, faith comes from Jesus' Word. Faith comes from Jesus. He is the pioneer of faith. He actually came to earth by faith. He lived out this whole life by faith in the Father. And so he set the pace for us, and he will perfect our faith. And so the Lord is a source of our faith. And Lord is the one who strengthens our faith. Lord is the one who grows our faith. But as we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, knowing that he's the one who strengthens, grows, and even guides our faith, we are to fix our eyes on how he endured the cross and scorn and shame. So Jesus came to obey the Father, do the work of salvation. Again, when you're obedient and trusting by faith, there is hardship. Jesus, from the time that he came as born as a person, human being, is already difficult. From his heavenly glory to limited man, you know, it's already difficult. Living out the life, he probably had to go to the bathroom, probably had to eat, he probably had to work, you know, he had to do everything man we do. And so if he, in his glory in heaven, he could just, you know, do everything with a finger or whatever, command. But he limited himself, but especially all the way to the cross, as we all know what he had to endure. He had to endure people's sin. I mean, he is a holy God. I think perhaps that might have been the most difficult for him, is because he is in his holy heaven and suddenly he came as a man and he's in the midst of sin. You know how he was able to handle that, you know, just enduring the sins of mankind. And then oppositions, persecution, whipping, crowning in thorns, and then being crucified on the crosses. This all opposition from sinful men. And in enduring the cross, there's a shame involved. You know, I was just reading or just studying with Shane, Book of Acts, and Apostle Paul went to Jerusalem even though he knew he was going to be tied and then persecuted. Sure enough, he was tied and bound by the Jews, and they whipped him, or they what's the word they use, but they scourged him. And I was just thinking, wow, he could have avoided that path, and he could have gone over to Macedonia or Greece or somewhere and say, you know, I could still evangelize over there. But he chose to obey God, and you know, even though he knew there's a suffering, he went and suffered. He'd been scourging by men. Have you ever been slapped by someone? I did. Pumping gas, some kid went and slapped me. I felt violated. Ladies always say they feel violated. You know, I felt the violation. That's just a little slap. But when you get like scourged and, you know, whipped, and oh my goodness, that could feel like a shame. Even when I'm evangelizing, the other day, I was coming to some guy and he was looking at me and smiling and laughing at me, and then I was trying to approach him. He's just kind of laughing at me. Go away, go away. I think he knew that I was, you know, preaching the gospel. I didn't see him. I don't know him, but he might have seen me going around talking to people. And then he looked at me and he saw me coming and said, "Go away, go away." And I said, "Okay, okay." But when somebody does that, it does kind of give you kind of like a little deeper sense of rejection. There's some time when you evangelize and they really kind of like reject you. Like you're talking to them and they just ignore you. They don't even look at you. They just kind of keep on going. They don't even acknowledge you. And so, like, you know, that could feel like, ugh, that's kind of a real rejection. It kind of goes deep. Let's see, Yvonne, have you experienced that before? You talk to someone and they just pretend you're not there, they just kind of go on. How do you feel? Pretty bad, right? there's a shame associated with it. So when Jesus was carrying, you know, enduring the cross, each step of those cross that Jesus bear, not only the cross, but cross along the way, there's also kind of shame involved. But because of that shame, as we're carrying the difficult opposition of mankind, there's a shame involved. And because of that shame, we could quit. I don't like this feeling. I don't want this anymore. But what did Jesus do? He scorned his shame. Shame, be gone. Stand down. Shame could stand up and say, oh, that's shameful. What are you doing? But Jesus, each step along the way, all the way to the cross, and he felt the rejection of man and the shame associated with it, he didn't allow it to take any room in his heart. He scorned it. And so, yep, that's what's going to happen if you run the race set out for you and to run with perseverance. You're going to have to be able to endure the cross that God has for you. Each person has his own cross. Each person has some shame that they might need to endure. But how do we run this race with perseverance? Is fixing our eyes on Jesus and looking at what Jesus did. Our cross and our shame compared to Jesus is nothing. That's how we stay encouraged. What I'm going through is nothing compared to what Jesus went through. You know, even Apostle Paul, even in the late years, when he was about to die, he was getting close to death in Rome. All of his men left. You know, Demas left because of this. Somebody left because of this. And you'll wonder, he labored quite a bit and served the Lord, and would God not comfort him with encouraging people around? You know, he was stripped away of even his men who were around him. I think maybe except Luke. Luke was with him. So God is always faithful. He doesn't always take everybody away, but there's one or two that is around. Same thing with David when he was being chased by Absalom. There's people who went with Absalom, and there's people who stay with David. So when there's some people who leave you, but then there's people who stays with you. So all these men, you know, men who were living for God in Christ also went through their own cross and their shame. But how do we get over that? Is fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Look at Jesus, how much he went through, and find your comfort there. Next, I don't know what's next, but okay, consider him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So as we're running the race with perseverance, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, you know, keep on, you know, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and I think I might have talked about this a little more, but that already. But consider him. Keep on looking at him, what he went through, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So he went he went through many oppositions from sinners, we already talked about, but he endured it. He persevered it. And so that's where our comfort comes from, and so that now we will not grow weary and lose heart. Otherwise, going through that opposition and hardship, it's pretty discouraging. It could be shameful, and it could be like not so great. But if we look at Jesus, that's where the renewed strength comes from. And it says in the Second Thessalonian there. So in our hardship, in our, you know, path to running the race, in our life of carrying the cross, we're called to consider him. So that's, fix our eyes on Jesus and always consider him. Why? Because that's where the strength will come, where we will not grow weary and lose heart or want to quit. But I added this one. This is not in context, but it has the word endure. And also, it also has Christ suffering. And this is related to leaders or let's see, slaves. It's a context of slaves. Slaves, you know, obey your master, and it goes on. Somebody read for us, let's see, 1 Peter 2, is it 19? Go ahead, at 19, right before where it starts. This is just taken from the middle.
For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God.
Okay, one before that. 18.
Slaves, submit yourself to your masters.
Yeah, there you go.
Slaves, submit yourself to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh.
Mm.
For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God.
Okay, I want to share this not just because I want you to suffer well under me, you know, but this is a teaching that I learned when I was young. And I understood this. And so this helped me to even persevere under leaders. You know how many leaders I had? 5 leaders. And there are varieties of leaders. I mean, I learned a lot from each one of them, and, you know, different challenges from each one of them. But they were my training, just like it was a training for David for 14 or 15 years under Saul. And this passage really helped me to learn how to respond well. And so it says, slave, submit yourself to master, even in through under an injustice, unjust leaders, for the sake of your conscience, you know, do this. It says, but how is it that you credit if you receive a beating or doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, persevere, suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Under unjust leaders. And this could be applicable to your bosses. You know? Do you know you guys are kind of like a slave to your boss at the workplace? You're getting paid for it. You're an indentured servant. You're a paid servant. So if you don't want to get fired, you have to obey everything your boss says. Right? But the boss is not always fair, right? You know, there's some unjust boss or there's some politics going on. And, you know, I was talking to Jesse and something like that was going on in our company. So there's good boss and bad boss. So what is pleasing to God is the principle that's taught here. But it's to please God, there's a perseverance involved. Perseverance. and the perseverance of Christ. It's set right after this verse. How is it that you, to your credit, if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it, persevere? But if you suffer for doing good and you persevere, endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called. We are called to set the example that would please God because of Christ's suffering for you, leaving you an example. So Christ persevere and suffer for you. Again, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. That's what it means to consider him. Consider him. What kind of step did he take, through life? And how did he suffer for me? What is the example that was set out for me? That's the example that we are to consider. Under opposition from sinners, under even unjust, bosses. These are some difficult situations where we're tested. But here, it's a calling to follow Jesus's example because he suffered for us. Follow his steps. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Consider him, how he did it. And that is pleasing to God. That is pleasing to God. Amen? So may you be blessed with much suffering so that you could follow Jesus in his footsteps. But when you are going through hardships and you're trying to persevere in the race, also remember the Lord's faithfulness to strengthen. Can we lift that up a little bit? Okay. Remembering the Lord is faithful to strengthen me and protect me. That comes from the Thessalonians that we read at the beginning, But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And the evil one here is, it could be evil people, but even the enemy, Satan. Because in the midst of running the race and being opposed by sinful men, even in situations of master-slave, there's the evil one is at work. The evil one is at work. He wants us to not follow Christ's example, but he wants us to follow the world example. And even from the evil spirit, evil enemy. That's why, when somebody slaps us in the cheek, what are we called to do? Turn the other cheek. And is that normal in the world? No, that's not normal in the world. But Satan would want you to, slap him back. Somebody slapped us, he wants us to slap him back. That's just the normal human tendency, and that's the way world, eye for an eye, or, justice. It's only justice I do this. But the kingdom way is interestingly very, contrary. Countercultural, as I was saying the other day. Countercultural. And turn the other cheek. And in doing that, we're protected from the evil one. But if we, strike equally, then the evil one is having his way. So there's a spiritual warfare going on in following the Lord. And as we are trying to keep our eyes fixed on Christ and considering him who endured the cross, there's a spiritual warfare. And so Apostle Paul prays for the Thessalonians. May the Lord direct your hearts. May the Lord direct your hearts nowhere else but to God's love. For the sake of love, do what is loving. Do what is most loving. and Christ's perseverance. It may be difficult, the opposition of sinful men, even being under a master, but we are called to look at the example of Christ. Endure. He endured the cross. He persevered. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning and giving us a meditation on how Jesus, you persevered, even the worst, under the worst of situation. Opposition from sinful men. Being in a human body, experiencing all the limitations, difficulties. Lord, you are even whipped, scourged by your creation. Not only was it painful, how shameful you must have felt. But you refused the shame. And you refused to allow the pain and the shame to cause you to sidetrack from obeying the Father. You kept on allowing mankind to whip you, crown you with thorns, make you carry the cross. Even you allowed mankind to nail you on the cross. Being lifted up, how your body was to really pull the wounds that really must have been terrible. And you could have ordered angels to come and rescue you or to remove you from the cross, but then you refused to do that because you loved us and you wanted to come and die for us. So Lord, thank you for that example. There's so many amazing example how you continue to trust in the Father and obey and to endure the cross all the way to your death on the cross. So Lord, when we are going through hardships, difficulties, and oppositions, would you help us to persevere by remembering you, Jesus, what you went through, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.